Recent polling has shown further declines in support for the two major parties in the state and a boost for One Nation. As One Nation leader Pauline Hanson has returned from a trip to Europe and defended her interview with the far-right activist Tommy Robinson, New South Wales Premier Chris Minns has declared the party would be bad for the economy, for social cohesion, and for, quote, young people that may not have white pigmentation. The Premier joins me now. Chris Minns, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
With those comments, do you think One Nation is a racist party, a discriminatory party?
Well, certainly some of the things Pauline Hanson says are definitely racist when she said there's no such thing as a good Muslim. I mean, how else do you characterise that? You've got to be straight with people. And that clearly is. But I don't think everyone who's supporting them currently is racist at all. I think that there are a lot of people who are probably concerned about the level or rate of immigration. She's been very consistent about that issue for decades. The most obvious voice opposing that policy, if you like, the rate of immigration. And I think that's driving a lot of their support. Now, I don't think it's a perfectly legitimate, might be wrong for the economy or wrong for Australia, but it's perfectly legitimate to have that point of view. It doesn't mean that you're racist if you're backing One Nation, and we've got to fight for those votes.
How are you going to do that?
I think by doing a few things. Firstly, pointing out that there are no easy answers in a difficult economic environment, particularly as a result of geopolitical fights around the world, for example, in the Strait of Hormuz. But common sense, rational policy will make a big difference to Australia and Australians. And if people can get a bigger say in the economy and get more out of what they put into it, then I think that the scepticism or cynicism that people have that's driving a lot of One Nation's votes can be somewhat, affected. But it's going to be a big arm wrestle, Sally, and I don't anticipate it'll be easy.
Premier, you face an election in March next year. The latest polling suggests there may be some threats to Labor seats in areas like the Hunter. What's your message to voters who are considering voting for One Nation?
Well, firstly, we take it very seriously. It'd be silly to suggest that it's not true. I think that we are under threat in a whole bunch of seats as a result of the surge of votes for One Nation. Secondly, we are making major changes in recognition of the fact that people want access to a growing economy and jobs for the future. I often believe it's not necessarily their own job. It's they're worried about their children, and they want their children to have access to good quality jobs. So we're doing some what we regard as practical common sense changes to policy in New South Wales. We're bringing back train manufacturing to our state. We're headquartering that in the Hunter. It will drive hundreds of good quality manufacturing jobs in that part of the state. And we're seeing a reinvestment from private capital in things like green steel, which will be a big boom for the New South Wales economy. Lastly, we're backing mining. Mining's still an important part of the New South Wales economy. It's still our biggest export. It's a big part of the future of economic prosperity in the state, and Labor's got a good record in relation to both jobs and investment in that sector.
Politically, more broadly, Premier, do you think that the breaking of the election promise federally on capital gains tax changes, has that contributed to a loss of trust in the major parties that is fueling some of the support for One Nation?
It's hard to pinpoint exactly why people vote for a particular party, but my hunch, Sally, is that the big boom in support for One Nation is in relation to many people in the communities concerned about the rate and level of immigration. And can I just reiterate the point? If you've got a concern about the rate or level of immigration, it doesn't mean that you're racist. I mean, there's a lot of progressives that have been part of the Sustainable Australia movement for decades. It's perfectly fine to have that view. Might be the right view, might be the wrong view, but it's perfectly fine. I think that's driving a lot of Hanson's support. And I think that's probably why she's had some wobbles in the polls in recent weeks, because there'd be a lot of good people out there that say, well, I'm concerned about this policy area, but what the hell is this monoculture business or this white Australia defence or all these other trinkets that come along with the Christmas tree when you vote One Nation?
Let's look at another issue. Labor's national conference kicks off tomorrow in Adelaide. Earlier this month, the New South Wales Labor Conference passed a motion calling for a moratorium on new poker machine licences and a tax increase on some clubs and a reduction in the number of pokies in the state. Will you take action?
Yeah, we did hear the message from the Labor Conference. I mean, it was unanimous, so it was pretty hard to avoid. And the Minister David Harris and myself, we'll take action as it relates to the motion. It's not a straightforward change. I mean, as big as the mining sector is in New South Wales, the people that work in pubs and clubs is actually way, way bigger. And that's always been our concern. We need to make sure that there's good quality jobs for people who live in our suburbs. Many of them work in pubs and clubs, but there needs to be a change in policy, and we're working on a plan now.
You've already committed to a ban on accepting political donations from clubs and gaming machines. Should federal Labor follow suit? Would it be a good idea?
Do they not do it? I'm not sure what the rules are federally, but we had to do it in New South Wales. I mean, we've got prohibitions in place as it relates to property developers. And given it's such a heavy, heavy regulatory part of policy in the state, there was just an obvious and profound conflict of interest at the state level, which meant we needed to make that change. I don't think it's as obvious federally, but I'll leave it up to them to make the call.
Yesterday, we heard from the Assistant Commissioner of the Australian Border Force about the agency's efforts to disrupt illicit tobacco supply chains. Your Health Minister, Ryan Park, said yesterday the issue has got away from authorities. Is more needed to be done?
We're doing a lot. I mean, we've put massive increases in fines, $1.5 million fines. Some businesses have been fined $1.1 million. They've closed hundreds and hundreds of illegal tobacconists, and the mystery shopper inspections continue. I mean, it's a big effort from the New South Wales government. But I just want to make the point that it feels sometimes like we're standing on a beach trying to stop the tide from coming in. And the reason for that is the drive to illicit tobacco in Australia is being driven by the massive excise on legal cigarettes. And it's doing a few things. Firstly, it's driving otherwise lawful people into an illicit black market. It's making cheap cigarettes available and plentiful, particularly for young people. And it's fueling organised crime in Australia. So I just think we need a rethink on the excise. It's just too high. Before people jump on me and say, that means that you're pro-smoking, I'm not. I can't stand the tobacco companies, but this is just a policy that's not working.
Premier, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Ali.